The New Britannia Theatre Troupe presents Shadow Quest. Directed and produced by Asclepius. Written by Gabriel Nightshadow, Elgarion Dicali, and Amber Rain. Music and special effects supervised by Asclepius and Gabriel Nightshadow. Voice cast. Solstar as Connor Congreve, Aemon's new apprentice crafter. Asclepius as Malachus Dar, Obsidian Cabalist, and himself. Lord Baldrith as the Story Weaver, Hamadou, and himself. Amber Rain as herself. Lady Addie as Angelique Noir. Elgarion Dicali as himself and Atreyu, the Blue Dragon. Celine Noctua as Amend. Waftem as Balak Fares Dicani. Majoria as herself. Cordelan Valcaris as Shooter Jennings and himself. Wombi as himself. Striker Sparhawk as himself. Apollux Evanhart as himself. Margaret McLean as herself.
The hooded, bearded figure hid behind the large puzzle tree in Gabriel Nightshadow's backyard as he watched the people filing into the Bear Tavern this evening, glancing down at the massive leather-bound tome clutched in his right hand. His eyes grew wide as he saw the intertwined white and black dragons embossed on the cover begin to glow, and an inky blackness started to spread out across the cover in all directions. The great book has become corrupted by the foul magic of the obsidians. The dormant darkness is once again spreading across Novia. He muttered to himself, "The future is hard to see." The Story Weaver opened up the massive tome and began reading from the gold-gilded pages. It was a very busy Monday night at the Bear Tavern. Balak Fares Dicani was filling drink orders at the bar, and the famous bard, Shooter Jennings, was on stage.
"Thank you all for coming out to this listening party for my new album, Kuntosh. I just realized that I forgot to bring souvenirs for you, my devoted fans. I'm going to rush home now to grab some wax to hand out. I won't be long. In the meantime, continue to enjoy the fine food and beer here at the Bear Tavern."
"And now a toast to the great bard, Shooter Jennings."
The crowd cheered and raised their mugs to toast Shooter as he walked off the stage. As Shooter approached the front door, he turned and waved to everyone before heading out. A few moments later, Amend, the guild's quartermaster, walked in and took a seat at a table next to Marguerite McLean.
"Good to see you, Amend. It's been a while."
"Indeed it has, Marguerite. How did you fare this week in Sand's tournament in the Obsidian Caverns?"
"Oh, the competition was really tough, but I emerged victorious once again."
"I am glad to hear that."
Balak walked over to the table.
"My dear Amend, you look simply frazzled. Can I get you something refreshing?"
"You know, you're crazy, Balak. Do we really need 50 beds and pillows for our guest quarters in the basement?"
"Of course we do, my dear. Look at the crowd here tonight. I can already see some of them will be sleeping it off here. And Keldon told me the new barmaid has designs for a private room with several of our more exclusive patrons."
"Balak, I am shocked. I would expect that sort of talk out of Butner, but you?"
"Ow! That really hurt!"
"Why are there so many people here on a Monday night anyway?"
"You just missed Shooter Jennings."
"What? You didn't tell me he was performing here tonight. Why wasn't this on the notice board by the bar?"
Surely I mentioned it. Well, perhaps it slipped my mind. Don't worry. He's just taking a short break. You can catch the second half of the show.
I see most of the other bears are here. How did they know?
Oh, I told all the guys the other night at the Red Room poker game.
Red Room poker game? My fingers are worn, sewing pillows day and night. Poor Celine is covered in flour and beginning to turn golden brown herself from making pies. And you boys are playing poker? In the Red Room? Why, I'm starting to feel like some of us do all the work around here while the elite live the life of luxury.
You know, both you and Celine are welcome to join us next Wednesday night for the poker game, after Stryker Sparhawk's happy hour. So, will you come?
Absolutely not.
Suddenly, a very familiar old man staggered and stumbled into the tavern. He was clutching a scroll in his hand.
Help me!
Algarian, my friend! Have you been poisoned? Amend, can you help the poor fellow?
Amend cast Purify and then Healing Ray, but neither seemed to have any effect.
It's not working.
No, it's no use. My time is nearly at an end. I was on my way to deliver a message to Shooter Jennings. I spotted him outside, headed towards his house. Obsidian assassins suddenly appeared and tried to abduct him. I managed to keep them distracted. Well, Asclepius and Lord Baldriff from the New Britannia troop were able to get Shooter away. During the melee, the assassins stabbed me multiple times in the chest with their poisoned daggers. I recognize the poison from its sweet aroma. It's made from Xanath berries, long thought to be extinct. There is no known cure for this deadly toxin. It is vital that one of you complete my quest.
Elgarion handed Balak a scroll.
This message is from our long-missing liege, Lord British. The eight obsidian cabalists believe that Shooter knows where Lord British is, where he's been hiding all of this time, and seek to interrogate Shooter to learn his location. They intend to have their assassins eliminate Lord British before he can make his way back to Brittany to reclaim the throne.
Then the rumors of Lord British's return are true?
Aye. He handed the message to me personally, while disguised as a wanderer.
But how will we get the message to him? We have no idea where Shooter has been hidden.
You must obtain the proper passwords from each of the New Britannia troop members in order to locate him. Beware the obsidian assassins who attacked me.
I couldn't save him.
He was beyond help, my dear. I am certain your efforts soothed him in his final moments. Goodbye, old friend.
The bookseller Wambi stepped forward from the crowd.
Do not cry, Amend. I believe there is still a way to bring Algarion back from beyond the veil.
How is that possible?
I recently came into possession of an ancient text which was found by the noted historian Theodoric at Desilus. The book speaks of the nine dragons of legend. One of them, the white dragon Kazaru, is said to possess great healing powers and has the ability to heal any ailment and raise the dead, no matter how long they have passed beyond the veil. He is said to dwell in a hidden crystal cave on a mountain near Beren's Reach. However, even if you find him, convincing him to help you could prove to be difficult.
Why?
Well, according to the text, he will only obey the one he is meant to bond with for life, a female dragon lord, a beautiful maiden who is pure of heart, descended from a particular bloodline. All other intruders he will devour immediately. I mend you will need this. The entrance to the cave can be found by utilizing the Amulet of Vazur, which will begin glowing more brightly as you get closer to it. Master Ranger Gabriel Nightshadow gave it to me for safekeeping while he's away on an important mission for the New Britannia Theatre Troupe. Something about tracking down a lead on the whereabouts of the albino man known as Count Aberon.
Wombi handed the amulet to Amend, who put it on.
Beautiful maiden who is pure of heart?
Balak winked at Amend, who glared at him.
Darn it, Balak, Ilgarion was our good friend. We have to try.
Fine, fine. Malgirtab, Sylvanas, Keldon Lighthand, Archaon, Athanil, and I will accompany you on this quest. We will depart shortly and leave Butner in charge of watching over Elgarion's body until we return. The seven of us should be able to handle an ancient dragon with no problem.
Amend rolled her eyes.
Now let's see what this scroll Elgarion was carrying says. Shooter, I managed to cross the border into Novia late last night and elude the obsidian assassins. I look forward to seeing you in 3 days. Your good friend, Lord British. Good heavens! This message is dated 3 days ago. Lord British must be close by. Who among you is brave enough to complete Elgarion's dangerous quest? Please be aware that people, places, and scenes which you encounter during your quest will reference the following movies. This act referenced Metropolis. Act 2 references Midnight Express, and Act 3 references Cack People and the Neverending Story.
Several people in the crowd said that they would undertake the quest, but one voice was louder than all of the others.
I will undertake this quest and deliver this message to Shooter Jennings.
Everyone in the bar turned to look at Amend's new apprentice crafter, a lanky ginger 18-year-old named Connor Congreve. Connor was the eldest son of Guard Captain Duncan Congreve of Braemar. He had recently moved to Baron's Reach, apparently to overcome some trauma related to the recent disappearances of teenagers in Braemar, which had been linked to the famous composer Dinsu.
This is a dangerous quest, Connor. You do not have the proper skills or training to undertake it. Besides, I need you to start crafting some dressers and trunks for the basement guest quarters tomorrow.
I anticipated that already, and made 10 of each today, Mistress Imond. I am fully qualified to undertake this quest. I have been trained in the art of combat since birth by my father, and your good friends Archaon and Athanil have been very helpful in supplementing that training. Please, Mistress, let me do this.
Amend. Let the boy undertake the quest. It is time for him to prove himself as a man.
Fine. Fine. You can undertake this quest, but please be careful. I worry for your safety.
Connor blushed slightly, for he secretly harbored a crush on the beautiful but much older Amend, who bore a striking resemblance to the childlike empress he had seen illustrated by the great artist Stephen in his favorite fairy tale, which his late mother used to read to him when he was but a child. He remembered the many tears he shed at the age of 12 after his loving mother fell victim to the accidentally unearthed artifact which carried a plague, which was originally developed by the evil obsidian mage Corbin Dar 200 years ago.
Thank you, Mistress. I will not fail you.
Belek was amused at Connor's attempt to impress Amend, who was oblivious to the young man's feelings.
For those of you who have memorized the message and seek to continue on, your adventure begins outside.
Once everyone exited the tavern, Connor saw a suspicious-looking man and woman engaged in conversation off to the side. The man was wearing a black hood, cloak, and wedding tuxedo. The woman was wearing black leather armor and lace. Connor hid behind some nearby shrubbery as he eavesdropped on the two.
Were you able to apprehend the bard, Shooter Jennings?
We would have if two members of New Britannia Theater Troupe hadn't shown up to rescue him. We lost their trail in the nearby forest.
I see. What of the messenger?
He has been dealt with, but not before passing his message on to another.
You know what to do, Angelique.
Angelique nodded as she smiled wickedly.
Yes, Master.
Soon, we will only have the Oracle and Lord Darkstar left to deal with. The Obsidian Empire will rise again.
Connor felt his ears burn at the mention of the Obsidians, and he had to use every bit of self-control to remain silent and concealed.
I am so looking forward to this evening, my precious Dark Angel of Death. I think you will like the recent improvements I made to the dungeon.
Malachus and Angelique embraced and shared a passionate kiss.
That sounds very intriguing, Master.
You are dismissed.
By your command.
Angelique bowed, blew Malachus a kiss, and then turned and ran into the nearby forest. Malachus turned and walked a short distance away in the opposite direction before zoning. Connor decided it was best to keep this extra bit of information to himself and soon joined everyone else in the town square. In the center of the town square was a giant yew tree. In the large enclosed area in front of the tree was Lady Majoria, a prominent member of the New Britannia Theater Troupe, who beckoned everyone to come to her.
Greetings, brave adventurers. I will now ask you a riddle. Anyone can call out the answer. Once I hear the correct answer, you may proceed to Coeur d'Alene over there, who will provide you with the next riddle. Is everyone ready? Here is your first riddle. In a future most dystopian of horror, lies divided between wealthy and worker. Dark spires of steel reach sky and heaven, a metropolis built upon the oppression of legend. A mad tinkerer overcome by grief created a facsimile of love, a woman now deceased. His purpose, bent upon hatred and revenge, drove this robotic form the most evil ends. The citizens rallied behind the seemly form, not knowing what they did, falling victim to charm. Now the city, full in revolt, Freder took courage, and the truth was told. With plot revealed and skin peeled away, the world's notions of freedom and love would sway. The once grand metropolis, spires tall and arching, would stand no longer upon the backs of the working. The tinkerer fell to his doom, his whole lust of power falling, falling, his body splayed at the base of the blank.
There was much murmuring in the crowd as people tried to decipher the riddle. But Connor had always been a clever lad and quickly shouted out,
Tower!
Tower is correct. Please proceed to Coeur d'Alene, who is standing in the enclosed area on the other side of this yew tree.
The crowd followed Connor over to Coeur d'Alene.
Congratulations on passing the first test. When I hear the correct answer to this riddle, you can go see one of those six armed escorts off to the right. When each party reaches maximum capacity, the armed escort will guide you to your next destination. Now, here is your second riddle. Werecats, magical creatures most fantastic and mythic, change their forms through action both hateful and romantic. Once they roam the lands with unrelenting freedom, their lust deadly to the peaceful and unsuspecting human. Now their numbers dwindle and diminish. Only a few remain to carry on their heritage. One female by the name of Irina fought her true nature to embrace love for another. Some say he betrayed her in the end, taking her panther form into a prison. But in this act, he saved her from oblivion. For Irina lived thereafter as Panther, Fur Silken, and...
Once again, the crowd seemed to be having difficulty figuring out the riddle.
Obsidian!
Obsidian is correct. My, you are a clever lad. Now everyone can proceed to the next destination, where our esteemed leader, the Master of Voices, Lord Valdrith himself, awaits.
Act 2. After all the groups arrived at the waterfront castle in Eri, they were greeted by a bearded mage standing guard at the front door. A magical barrier had been erected behind him, preventing anyone from opening the front doors.
Greetings, brave adventurers. Congratulations on getting this far. For over 100 years, the infamous castle behind me served as a prison for the most notorious criminals in the land until the new facility was recently completed in Brittany. Somewhere on these grounds is hidden a great treasure, a wax cylinder of the bard Shooter Jennings' latest album, Kontosh, along with the final riddle to his location. But beware, for 24 of the 25 treasure chests will contain a trap which will hinder your progress. Once someone finds the cylinder and the final riddle and reports back to me, all the other players may return here to the entrance where I will reveal the riddle to all. Are you ready? Here is your third riddle. In another world of fantasy never ending, a boy hero stands with courage against the nothing. The darkness of apathy spreads, consuming the ivory tower. Fantasia all but vanishes, if not for imagination, the savior power. The boy hero stands tall and exclaims, "Moonchild, was it too late? What of this world of wonder remains? A small particle of magical dust, not a fleck, a tiny piece of Fantasia, rests in his palm, so tiny, merely a
speck."
The correct answer has been given. The doors of the keep will now be unlocked. Good luck, everybody.
Lord Baldrith stood to one side and uttered an incantation. The magical barrier dissipated. Connor was caught in the wave as the crowd surged forward across the walkway. He barely had time to fling open the front doors as he was pushed up against them. The crowd spilled into the foyer and everyone began running about in different directions, opening any ornate public cash chest they came across. The chests were not immediately visible, as they were hidden behind ornate room dividers and potted plants. Connor heard someone shriek after opening up a nearby chest to his left. The poor fellow's head engulfed in a cloud of noxious green gash, and he immediately fell to the ground dead with a vacant look on his face. His shadowy spirit rose from his body and floated over to an area marked off by giant stone onks and ornate skull candles. Incoherent sounds emanated from the spirit, most likely the man's frustration at waiting to be resurrected. Connor hoped that he would have much better luck and quickly flipped open the chest in front of him. He suddenly felt lightheaded and was compelled to begin dancing a jig. He turned to his right and saw someone else lurching about like a zombie moaning brains. Racing up to the second floor of the castle, Connor saw many more people had fallen victim to the poisonous gas. Several people were being compelled to dance Alamedes or zombie dances.
Wait, what is this on the other side of the staircase? It looks like a faint outline of a door.
Connor pressed his hand slightly against the bricks, and a hidden door swung open.
Oh my god! It's a hidden treasure chest! What does this note on the floor say? Open the trunk and take the items inside. Could it be a prize?
Out of my way, boy!
Connor was suddenly pushed aside by a burly fellow and fell on his butt. Connor immediately got up.
Hey, I was here first.
The burly fellow glared at Connor.
Are you challenging me, boy?
Once Connor got a closer look at the man's scarred face, he recognized him. This was the notorious fighter known as Hamindal. A former guard at this prison, he now earned a living using his deadly melee combat skills in the underground steel cage death matches held on a monthly basis for the amusement of the wealthy.
No, sir.
A wise decision, boy.
Hamindal flung open the chest and died. Connor had been rather lucky that he had not fallen victim to the deadly gas which lay within, and hastily raced around the staircase and headed up to the roof. Unlike the previous floors of the castle, which had been lit with blue fire torches, it was very dark up on the roof, where only the glow from the shattered moon high above provided some dim illumination. Connor saw that the four chests at the corners of the towers had already been searched. All that remained were the three chests surrounded by wall dividers up on the central tower. Connor climbed up the ladder and soon realized how dark and narrow the passage was between the wall dividers. He soon came across a beautiful young female body sprawled in front of the first chest. As he made his way towards the second chest, he heard a male voice cry out, followed soon thereafter by a loud, sickening thud. Connor peered over the side and saw that the poor fellow had not seen the edge of the tower in the dark and had fallen off, his shattered body landing directly in front of Lord Baldrith on the entry walkway below. A very calm Lord Baldrith looked down at the body and shook his head.
Please let this chest be the correct one.
Connor peered inside the chest and saw a note. He picked it up and began reading.
You have chosen wisely. Congratulations. You have won a set of pink wax cylinders of songs from the bard Shooter Jennings' new album, Countach. Please take this note as proof and present it to Shooter Jennings at your final destination. Your fourth and final riddle is...
Connor smiled as he read the final riddle, for he now knew where the New Britannian Theater troupe had hidden the bard Shooter Jennings for his own safety. Connor continued reading.
Announce to all present that you have claimed the prize, and then report back to Lord Baldrith and show him this note. He will provide you with additional instructions.
Connor held the note up and loudly declared,
"In the end, there can be only one. I claim the prize."
Connor carefully made his way back to the ladder and climbed down from the tower. He raced downstairs and across the entry walkway to Lord Baldrith. Connor showed him the prize note.
You now have all four clues which will reveal Shooter's location. Arrange the clues in the correct sequence and whisper the answer to me.
After Connor had done so, a smiling Lord Baldrith declared,
"We have a winner. Connor Congreve will now report to Stryker Sparhawk for further instruction."
Connor walked over to Stryker Sparhawk, who bowed to him.
"Come here, kid. You look lost. Now, right here. I am the emissary. Congratulations on winning the prize. Now, I will personally guide you to your final destinations, so stay close to me because we will be venturing off-road in order to avoid the foes at Nightshade Pass, and it is very easy to get lost. You have a message to deliver to Shooter Jennings, and time is of the essence, so we better get going.
Stryker and Connor departed.
Avatars, please gather around for the fourth riddle. If someone can tell me the answer to this, you will know the location of Shooter Jennings. The fourth and final riddle is, in the distant world of the Avatars, in a prison so brutal and deadly, a man named Billy was locked away, crimes both small and petty. For 5 years he endured a life of hardship, within walls devoid of truth, love, and kinship. A man so evil, a guardian of this jail, prolonged, darkened, and worsened Billy's hell. Another man embracing truth, yet abandoning courage, revealed Billy's daring plans and purpose. The angered guardian, deprived and hateful, inflicted pain and torture most distasteful. But in years to come, Billy's love delivered hope, and now Billy again could dare to cope. A chance returned to breach the entrance, but Billy did not depart before exacting his...
After some time, an elderly woman in the crowd finally came up with a correct answer.
Vengeance is correct. Please return to your guides, who will conduct you to Shooter's location.
As the groups formed, a man dressed in black approached them.
Greetings, brave adventurers. Congratulations on finding the four clues which will reveal Shooter Jennings' location. My name is Malachus Dar, and I represent the 8 Obsidian Cabalists. Now, I know many of you have heard many terrible things about our predecessors, but I assure you that we are nothing at all like them. We only wish to make the world a better place for the common man and usher in a new era of peace and prosperity, free from the ever-watching human and mechanical eyes of the Oracle. I have come to make you all an offer on behalf of my masters. Those who are willing to share the four clues with me will be escorted to the final destination, where they will be richly rewarded with gold for aiding our cause. Furthermore, once we have overthrown the Oracle and reclaimed power, as favored citizens of the new Obsidian Empire, you will receive tax-free village lots in prime locations and given access to rare raw materials for crafting at substantially reduced prices. Anyone who wishes to accept this offer, please step forward. Then please join Angelique or one of my other good friends standing over there, and they will guide you to your final destination.
Surprisingly, no one accepted Malachus's offer.
I am very disappointed that none of you accepted my most generous offer. These members of the New Britannia Theatre Troupe are really agents of the Oracle. You have no idea what you are in for. But I will leave you ignorant fools to your fate.
Malachus, Angelique, and her dozen assassins zoned away. A short time later, they materialized outside the entrance to Aerie.
You know what to do, my dear.
Yes, Master. I will contact you when we have the location.
Malachus nodded as he zoned away again. Angelique and her assassins hid behind some nearby rocks and cast silent movement, shimmering out of existence. Act 3. Angelique and her obsidian assassins arrived inside the entrance to Vengeance. Malachus Dar was waiting for them to their left.
It was wise of you to follow Dr. Shroud's group, Angelique. They have caught up to the other groups and are a short distance ahead. Intercept them at that nearby rock formation and eliminate them all. Proceed to the tower and kill everyone inside. Time is of the essence, as I just received a report from our spy who infiltrated the Oracle's network of human watchers. The Oracle has dispatched some of her soldiers from the garrison stationed near Virtus Pass to investigate our activities in this area. They will be arriving here in about an hour. I will meet you at the rendezvous point.
Yes, Master.
Angelique and her squad cast sprint and then silent movement and headed off towards the rock formation. Malachus turned to leave when he felt his communication orb begin to pulsate in his pouch. Removing the glowing black orb, he heard his master calling to him.
The Cabal would like a status report, Malachus.
Master, we have discovered where the NBTT has hidden Shooter Jennings, and we expect Lord British to arrive soon. Angelique and her team are en route to the location now to eliminate them.
Good, good. But it seems that you have even less time than previously expected. Not only are the Oracle soldiers en route, but so is Dragon Lord Gabriel Nightshadow as well. Our spies have discovered that the lead he was following was merely a trap set by your traitorous father, Count Aberon. The Dragon Lord survived the deadly ambush by the Dakari Sisterhood of Assassins and is making his way back there with all due haste.
I am confident that Angelique and her team will be able to complete their mission before either the Oracle soldiers or Gabriel Nightshadow arrives.
I hope so, for both of your sakes, Malachus. You know the price of failure.
Yes, Master.
We will check back with you soon.
Malachus Dar put the black orb back in his pouch. As he turned toward the archway, he saw two figures approaching. Malachus quickly moved off to the side and began casting a spell. A short time later, Stryker Sparhawk and Connor Congreve arrived at the entrance to Vengeance.
Connor, I told you to stick close to me. We lost so much time because I had to backtrack and find you. I can see that the other groups have passed us and are approaching that rock formation near our final destination, that giant obsidian tower off to the right up there. I swear, your sense of direction is as bad as my friend Gabriel Nightshadow, and that bear cub can get lost just by turning around.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sparhawk.
Sorry to lose my temper like that, Connor. It's just due to the fact that we're on a tight deadline. Call me Stryker. Mr. Sparhawk sounds so ancient.
Okay, Stryker.
All right, now be on your guard, Connor. This is a very dangerous area. You never know what...
Poor Stryker never got to finish that sentence as he was suddenly hit in the face by an earth elemental and sent flying backward. He struck a nearby rock wall and slumped to the ground unconscious. Connor instinctively rolled away in the opposite direction and immediately drew his magic sword as he stood up. It crackled to life with electricity.
I remember you from Baron's Reach. You're an obsidian mage.
Clever boy. Malachus Dar at your service.
Are you any relation to the mage known as Corbin Dar?
Why, yes. He was my grand uncle. He was slain by the Black Dragon Lord, known as Gabriel Nightshadow.
Nearly half of my village died, including my mother, because of an unearthed artifact which carried a plague originally developed by Corbin Dar.
Ha ha ha. Good to hear that his legacy lives on.
Although Corbin Dar is dead, I will avenge my people by slaying you!
I don't think so, boy. Attack!
The Earth Elemental pounded the ground, but Connor managed to leap away and avoid the brunt of the earthquake. It then cast root, but Connor quickly jumped free mere moments before the Elemental would have struck him with its mighty fists. Meanwhile, at the rock formation near the Obsidian Tower, the other NBTT armed escorts arrived with the rest of the players. The lead escort, Amber Rain, disbanded the parties and sent the other escorts on ahead to the tower. As she tried to get everyone to form a single line, Angelique and her Obsidian Assassin squad emerged from their hiding place around the rock formation and approached the players.
Hello there, my name is Angelique Noir. Thank you for unwittingly leading us to Shooter Jennings and Lord British. Once we take care of all of you, we will be able to enter the Ivory Tower undetected and kill everyone inside.
Apollux Evanhart and his NBTT hero squad stepped out from their nearby hiding place and confronted Angelique and her squad.
I wouldn't count on that, Obsidian scum.
Who the heck are you?
Apollux flexed his muscles.
I'm Heartthrob Evanhart, and these are my good friends, Marguerite McLean, Balak Farz Dakani, and Keldon Lighthand. We're not going to let you harm these good people or anyone else inside.
Amber Rain rolled her eyes, and Angelique laughed.
You don't look like much of a heartthrob or a hero to me, boy. Your pathetic fighting skills are no match for ours. We're the finest assassins in all of the land.
We'll see about that. Amber, protect the civilians. NBTT Hero Squad, attack!
Apollux and his squad rushed forward and engaged Angelique and her assassins. Despite their superior skill, the NBTT Hero Squad was clearly outnumbered, and things looked pretty grim.
You know, Balak, we really could have used Archeon, Nathaniel, and Savanius here with us.
In hindsight, it may not have been such a great idea to have them return to Baron's Reach to work on the arena instead.
Suddenly, Asclepius and Lord Baldrith appeared and joined the fray.
Lord Baldrith and I thought you could use the extra help. Sorry we are late. Some pickpocket stole our teleport scrolls, and we had to buy some from the traveling merchant, Sandy Chapman.
Thanks to the timely arrival of Asclepius and Lord Baldrith, the tide seemed to shift in the NBTT's favor. Meanwhile, back near the entrance to Vengeance, Connor was not having much luck battling the Earth Elemental.
Darn it! My lightning sword isn't causing enough damage to this rock elemental!
Connor struck the rock elemental in the right arm with his sword and was startled to see the blade break off. The rock elemental pounded the ground and Connor found himself flat on his back. The broken hilt flew out of his hand and landed a short distance away.
Uh-oh.
Before the Earth Elemental could launch another attack, it vanished.
I prefer to finish you off myself.
Connor felt himself grow weak as Malakus cast Death Field. Connor got up and punched Malakus in the stomach with his flame fist, followed by Stone Fist.
Your pathetic fist attacks can't harm me, boy.
Malakus cast Death Touch and then Death Ray. Connor fell to his knees. Connor cast Healing Ray, but he found himself losing health far quicker than he could replenish it.
I must not fail. It can't end like this.
Suddenly, there was a flash of light, and he felt a woman's hand on his left shoulder and healing energy flowing into him. He glanced up to see Amend standing there next to him, smiling. She was literally glowing as she stood there in ornate white plate armor. She looked like some sort of warrior empress.
I believe in you, Connor. You can defeat this evil foe. Tap into your inner power.
Hey, what is this? Who dares interfere in our battle?
I am Amend, the White Dragon Lord.
Malachus's eyes grew wide as Amend released her hold on Connor and stepped to the side.
No, it can't be.
Suddenly, Connor had a vision. He saw himself standing in an ice cave before an enormous blue dragon. Fog covered the ground.
Greetings, Connor Cosgrave. I am Atreyu, youngest of the nine dragons. I command the power of the air! I bonded with your great-grandfather, Colin Congreve, who died during the fall of Castle Gannar 200 years ago. Now that you have awakened me from my long slumber through our telepathic link, it is time for you to fulfill your destiny. Claim your birthright as the new Blue Dragon Lord.
The vision faded and Connor's eyes began to glow as his entire body began to crackle with electricity. He suddenly stood up and cast Discharge, causing Malachus to stagger back. He then began casting bolts of lightning at Malachus, who tried to erect a magic force field against them. The force field shattered, and Malachus felt the brunt of the supercharged lightning bolts as his enchanted cloth armor was torn to shreds.
Oh, I cannot be defeated by a mere boy.
I am no longer a boy, Malachus. I am Connor Congreve, the Blue Dragon Lord.
Malachus coughed and spit out blood.
We will battle each other again someday, and I shall have my revenge.
Malachus shook his fist at Connor and then suddenly shimmered out of existence.
He's disappeared! I don't know the reveal hidden spell.
Let him go, Connor. You have a more important task to attend to.
Striker Sparhawk walked over.
Oh, thank you for healing me, Amon. Seems I missed out on all the excitement.
Please escort Connor to the tower, Striker. I will go and assist the others.
Certainly. Let's go, Connor. We're going up that way.
Striker and Connor headed toward the Obsidian Tower. Meanwhile, back at the rock formation.
Take that, obsidian witch!
Apollux's blade sliced through Angelique's right side. She winced in pain.
Ah, that really hurt. You may have won this time, Heartthrob Evanheart, but when next we meet, I will show you the true meaning of pain.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to that.
For heaven's sake, Apollux. You're supposed to be fighting her, not flirting with her.
Marguerite did a facepalm.
You know I can't help myself when I'm around attractive women, especially when they're wearing black leather and lace.
You won't be grinning so much next time after I use my electric shock whip on you.
I can handle anything you throw at me. I do not fear pain.
You will, boy. You will.
Angelique suddenly purred like a cat and licked her lips in anticipation.
Now, get over here.
What?
Angelique suddenly pulled Apollux into an embrace and gave him a passionate kiss. Apollux enjoyed the moment, but then was struck down by a discharge spell which Angelique cast.
See you around, Heartthrob. All squad members, retreat!
Angelique and her squad made a hasty retreat towards the exit arch.
Apollux!
Amend ran over and cast Healing Ray on Apollux.
Thank you, Amand. Wow, that sexy assassin Angelique was a pretty good kisser.
Marguerite shook her head.
Some people never learn.
Amber Rain approached Apollux. She looked very angry. Apollux began to get very nervous and started sweating profusely.
Amber?
You no good womanizer. You told me that you loved me, and here I catch you flirting with the enemy.
You know she doesn't mean a thing to me, baby.
Are you kidding me? Urgh! Oh my goddess.
Amber felt her face flush as her sister, Ember Flame, pushed her out of the way. As she looked at Apollux, her eyes changed from green to blue, and then the look on her face showed how much she wanted to eat him. Apollux gasped in horror. Amber started attacking Apollux with a bow and magic attacks that he was forced to defend himself.
Shouldn't we be doing something to help Apollux?
I think it would be best if we stay out of it. You know, this reminds me of the movie Cat People. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
After a few minutes of fighting, Amber Rain gained the upper hand and forced Apollux to his knees. Apollux cowered in fear as he begged for mercy.
Please, no more. I've learned my lesson. I'm so sorry, Amber.
Amber stopped attacking Apollux.
Deeds speak louder than words, Apollux. I'm gonna give you one last chance. And if I catch you flirting with anyone else, I will show no mercy and turn you into a meat pie that Dinzu and I will feast on.
Apollux turned white as a ghost and started whimpering.
No, I promise to be good from now on.
Amber glared at Apollux.
Now get the hell out of my way.
Amber stormed past Apollux and walked towards the Obsidian Tower. Meanwhile, Stryker and Connor arrived at the entrance to the tower.
Wait, good heavens to Murgatroyd! Algarion! You're alive! How's that even possible? I saw you die at the Bear's Tavern with my own eyes!
Greetings, my good friend Stryker. Well, the Seven Bears managed to locate that ancient white dragon after all. It seems that Amen's the last blood descendant of the Dragon Lord Kaylee Sindara. As such, she was able to bond with the ancient white dragon Kizaru and claim her birthright as one of the nine dragon lords. Anyway, Kizaru was able to temporarily boost her natural healing powers to a godlike level, allowing her to remove the toxins from my body and to resurrect me. In fact, I think I might have gotten a few years younger in the process, because I seem to have a bit more spring to my step now. Stryker, I see that you have brought me a visitor. I presume this is the winner?
Yes. May I present Connor Congreve, the new Blue Dragon Lord?
Elgarion's eyes grew wide.
Oh my! Two Dragon Lords found in one day! A most historic event! I would imagine that the Obsidians will not be pleased by this turn of events.
No, I certainly don't think the Obsidians will be pleased at all.
Connor, please whisper the four clues to me in the correct order and show me the winning note.
Speck, Obsidian, Tower, Vengeance.
Yes, it seems that you are the one. Welcome to the Ivory Tower. Yes, I know it appears to be an Obsidian Tower, but that is due to an illusion cast upon it to avoid unwanted attention. Please follow Stryker inside and deliver your message to Shooter Jennings.
Stryker escorted Connor inside and up the staircases to the third level, where he was greeted by Shooter Jennings.
Hello there. I believe that you have a message for me.
Yes, I do, sir. Shooter, I managed to cross the border into Novia late last night and elude the Obsidian Assassins. I look forward to seeing you in 3 days. Your good friend, Lord British.
That is very good news. I was worried that the Obsidian Assassins might have gotten to Lord British after they managed to kill all of his bodyguards near the border. This message means he should be joining us shortly. In the meantime, let's pose for a picture. Is someone recording this on video?
Shooter flashed a grin as he shook Connor's hand.
I hope you have a great time here at the party.
A short time later, the NBTT Hero Squad led the rest of the participants to the tower.
Welcome to the Ivory Tower. Thank heavens all of you came to save us from that obsidian attack. How did you know to come?
I thought the obsidians might try something, and directed Apollux and his team to come here as quickly as possible.
I don't think this will be the last we will see of Angelique Noir and her band of obsidian assassins, or her mysterious master, the Man in Black. You know, I thought he bore an uncanny resemblance to you, Asclepius.
I fear you may be right about Angelique, old friend. As for the Man in Black, it is said that everyone has a doppelganger out there somewhere. It seems that I have found mine.
I am now able to check in all remaining players. Please whisper your clues to me in the correct order as you enter. The first 25 to do so will receive a copy of the Bard Shooter Jennings' new album, Kuntash, on pink vinyl.
After everyone had entered the Ivory Tower, the Story Weaver stepped out from behind the Oracle Confirmatory. He glanced at the cover of the Great Book, which had been restored to its original appearance, and then continued reading. And so it came to pass that young Connor Congreve and his friends were able to defeat the darkness and ensure the safe return of their long-missing king, Lord British. There was much merriment at the party that night. This was a great victory, but the Shadow War continued on. The darkness had not been destroyed and would return to plague our heroes again one day, but that's another story. The Story Weaver closed the Great Book and smiled as he slowly faded away.
Music credits. The following music tracks used in this production are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0, and can be found at https://machinimasound.com. The End of Mankind by Per Kilstoft. Endgame by Per Kilstoft. Engulfing Shadows by Jens Kilstoft. Escape from the Temple by Per Kilstoft. The Land of the Wizard by Per Kilstoft. Olympus by Jens Kilstoft. Remaining music tracks are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 unported. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. The following tracks can be found at http://opengameart.org. Battle Theme A by Cynic Music. Caravan by YD. Crystal Cavern by Joseph Gilbert /Kistol. Dream by Elliot Corley. A Hero is Born by TGF Coda. The King's Crowning by Telleron. The Orcs Are Coming by Shalpin. Swordfight by Kistol. Tavern by YD. Winds of Stories by Horrorpin. the following tracks can be found at https://soundcloud.com/AlexanderZelenoff. Open the Gate by Alexander Zelenoff. Rise of Spirit by Alexander Zelenoff. The following tracks can be found at www.matthewpebler.com. Blackmore Colossus, Colossal Boss Battle Theme by Matthew Pablo. Dark Amulet by Matthew Pablo. Enchanted Festival by Matthew Pablo. Ireland's Coast Video Game Version Live by Matthew Pablo.
Sound effect credits. All sound effects used in this production are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 unported. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/. The following sound effects can be found at http://soundbible.com. Swords Clashing, recorded by Mike Cohen. Drop Sword, recorded by Caroline Ford. Torch, recorded by Mike Cohen. Large Fireball, recorded by Mike Cohen. Grenade Explosion, recorded by Mike Cohen. Dragon Roaring, recorded by Mike Cohen. Dove, recorded by Mike Cohen. Earthquake, recorded by Mike Cohen. Slap, recorded by Soundmaster 13. Drone Shuriken, recorded by Cody Mann. The following sound effects can be found at http://opengameart.org. Amulet of Absorption, recorded by Cosmic D. Fall, recorded by Remaxim. Ghost Breath, recorded by Cubado. Magic Shield, recorded by Spooky Modem. Teleport, recorded by Ogre Bane. Hitting Wall, recorded by Spooky Modem. Earth Element Magic Spell, recorded by Cubado.